Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. From Philly to the Brandywine, that's DestinationDelco.com. And by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guest, Don Schwartz, Director of the Bedford County Planning Commission, and Steve George of the Pike to Bike Steering Committee, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com. A new way to experience Delaware County. From Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you by DestinationDelco.com. Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
We have a special treat today because we're going to talk about something that is personally very interesting to me. I'm kind of a freak about large roads and large railroads, and this is about a large road. And the road in question is the Pennsylvania Turnpike. It has a rather extraordinary history, and not only is it the oldest superhighway in the nation, but it is the only road built on a roadbed of a never-completed railroad. The Turnpike was built on the original right-of-way of the South Pennsylvania Railroad, which was intended to compete with the then-mighty Pennsylvania Railroad of the 19th century. Completed in less than 2 years, in 1940, the Turnpike was an engineering marvel as it ascended and descended the Allegheny Mountains with a 3% grade or less. It is also the first highway in America to run for 160 miles without a single traffic light. Our program today is about an amazing and strange remnant of this remarkable highway. Joining us is Don Schwartz, Director of the Bedford County Planning Commission, and Steve George, former borough councilman and now member of the Bedford County Pike to Bike Steering Committee. So I want to welcome you, gentlemen. Thank you very much for doing this. I think I want to turn to you, Don, since you have a deep and interesting history about all of this. I'd like you first to explain why there is an 8.5-mile section of the Turnpike that they just walked away from in 1968.
Pennsylvania Turnpike was open for business in 1940. Immediately, it was a great success, and I think way beyond the success of the designers. When the Turnpike was built, obviously it had to cross the mountains, and there were tunnels. Two lanes of traffic east, two lanes of traffic west. And at the tunnels, however, there were only single tunnels, so you had four lanes of traffic funneling into two lanes, one lane east, one lane west, and then in the tunnels. So over time, as the Turnpike became more and more successful, 1950s and 60s, tremendous traffic backups developed at the tunnels at various times. A solution at most locations was to put in a second tunnel, which is what we have today. But in the area from western Somerset County into eastern Bedford County, the property or the turnpike merely bypassed the tunnels that were there and resulted in the creation of the turnpike we see today. As a result, it was about an 11-mile section, I believe, of highway was abandoned, four lanes of highway, with two tunnels, the Race Hill Tunnel, which straddles the two counties, Bedford and Fulton, and the Sidling Hill Tunnel, which is in Fulton County. That tunnel is 1.3 miles long. It is was the longest tunnel on the Turnpike, whereas the Race Hill Tunnel, at about 0.7 miles, was the shortest tunnel. And the two tunnels are separated by about 4 or 5 miles of abandoned highway. Of the 11-mile stretch of highway, about 8.5 miles was then turned over to a nonprofit in 2001.
Thank you. That was great, because I couldn't have done that if my life depended on it, so I really appreciate it. Steve, how did you get involved in this? What made you so interested in this project?
Well, finally, it appears that there is now a political will on the part of the Bedford County Commissioners to actually proceed with this project. We have to go back 10 years when that project was first conceived of but never went forward. So these commissioners, in essence, have appointed an 11-member citizens committee, And in choosing members, I guess they felt maybe I could contribute something.
Well, you have a lot of experience, obviously, in municipal work. I understand you ran the Pittsburgh Airport for some time in Pittsburgh and had some other jobs, and you're also a professional architect, so you're a fine person to have in this project. Back to you a minute, second, Don. Now, you told us about the abandoned turnpike. Of course, this is fascinating. I believe this is the only piece of highway of its type anywhere. I mean, it's really very extraordinary where they have these two large tunnels inside this abandoned, not two-lane, but four-lane highway. And there has been, for the last 10 or 15 years, a great interest in making this a recreational byway. It's a massive job, isn't it, to do this?
Yes. I've been involved at various levels, working in public-private industry and government for nearly 40 years now. And I've been involved in many large projects, infrastructure projects. And to me personally, this is the single most complex project I've ever tackled. At every level, there are engineering issues. There are two large tunnels that have been abandoned for 50 years. There may be environmental questions. There are issues of traffic control. The list goes on and on and on and on. And I find it very challenging and very interesting. And ultimately, I think that if the project can be accomplished, it'll be extremely rewarding to both counties.
I think one of the things that I find interesting about this project is not only the massiveness of the challenge, but what could come out as a result if we pull it off. I mean, you know, what a wonderful thing to be able to walk down this pavement that was built in a highly professional manner back in the 1930s and 40s by, I understand, members of the WPA, among others. This whole project is so unusual that if you were to go out and build today, there's not enough money in the world to do it. So it's already here. All we have to do is clean it up. Steve, I know one of the things that the steering committee is discussing right now is how complicated do they want to make the project. In other words, the tunnel's going to need some lights, but not a lot of lights. The tunnel's going to need some things, but not a lot of things. I mean, these tunnels have lasted 50-plus years. They're not likely to fall down in the near future. And I guess you could probably go a little overboard in trying to make this thing perfect. And so you need kind of a happy medium,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, well, there's no question about that. They're still sturdy. Yeah. There's deterioration. That can be remedied, okay?
Yeah.
10 years ago, when the original study was done, it identified all of those things. Mm-hmm. We're 10 years later, and obviously there's been 10 years more deterioration. Mm-hmm. But still, the potential of what this thing could mean to both these counties is mind-boggling. You're talking potentially 200, 250,000 visitors coming to the area. In economic terms, that is huge. That can be a big boon to Breezewood, to the Fulton County end of this. It's unlimited almost, but there are a lot of issues.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed that, I don't know who did this, Don, I guess you do, but there's a man that took a drone and put a camera on it and ran down the entire length of this road and even actually ran into the tunnels for a few feet and came out again. And that's on a website, and you can actually see what this thing looks like. And how many hits has this thing had?
I haven't checked
thousands,
last,
I understand?
Last, week or two. The man's name was Kyle Mills. He's from Canada, and he did the drone video in the fall of 2014, so about a year and a half. This fall, it'll be 2 years. Last I looked, it was in the range of 450,000 views, and I've been in touch with Kyle, and the viewership is actually accelerating with time. He's getting more and more views per day with each passing month. So it's nearing a half a million.
So, Steve, this confirms that there's already interest in international travel here. And all we have to do is get our act together and get this thing fixed and make it work.
Well, and that's what, and this whole effort needs leadership, okay? And that's part of the charge of this 11-member committee, to literally investigate, pull it together, bring it to the point where the 10-year-old study can now be revisited and updated. And whatever that study comes in the way of conclusions, we move from that point on.
Now, I know you personally have done some work with not only the local Bedford County commissioners, but have reached out to the Fulton County commissioners as well. How do you think the interest is on both sides of the tunnel, so to speak?
Well, initially, the commissioners, and two of the commissioners are newly elected in Fulton, They're getting their feet on the getting their feet wet.
Sure.
And need a little more time. But there has been communication between the two county commissioners of both counties, and they are in fact ready to sit down and discuss. And what's most important is they have to have a seat at the table, because they have to be part of this. It's two counties. That simple.
You know what this reminds me of a lot, Don, is the elevated railway they fixed in New York City.
High Line.
I mean, right. It's not maybe the same size, but they took this old, horrible, abandoned railroad that they had on steel struts going down city streets in New York City through not so nice parts of the town, and turned it into a wonderful byway to walk and ride your bike on. And they have flowers on it, and they have trees up there and all this other stuff. And what is it, 30 feet off the ground or something? Right. So this is a lot. This has kind of the same potential, doesn't it?
I call it a surface level High Line.
I say this, and no one's contradicted me yet, there is no other property like the Pike to Bike in the world. That's what I heard when I came into this position, and I've tried to do my own research. And in terms of there being two large highway tunnels on a four-lane highway that could be turned into a recreational trail, this is it, period. It sits here in Bedford and Fulton counties. You could travel anywhere else in the world and you will not see this. So. Almost unlimited potential, not just for visitors, but for local individuals to enjoy and recreate, to have annual events. We've talked about things from marathons to bicycle races, to wheeled dog sled races, to
movies,
yeah. To antique car shows, to light shows, to
concerts.
I mean, I get calls nearly weekly with some other business proposition of what could occur out there, and certainly I think it's ripe for large events of some type, beyond just having people come individually. There could be some very large events at that facility.
Well, what amazes me is we have this little county, 49,000 plus people. Fulton County is even smaller.
16.
And here we have this facility that has already been built 3% grade on a concrete highway. I mean, as I said earlier, you couldn't afford to build this today. I mean, you imagine going through an Allegheny Mountain and say, here's what we want. We want a tunnel to go through the mountain, and it's got to be a mile and 3/10 long. you need NASA's budget to do that.
But,
and we have it all here.
But actually, to redo this, to redo it and bring it to the level we want, is not an astronomical number.
Yeah.
It is within reach.
Sounds like it. Our guests are Don Schwartz, director of the Bedford County Planning Commission, and Steve George, who is a member of the Pike to Bike Steering Committee here in Bedford County. And when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about the nitty-gritty of actually doing this. There's not only some planning involved, but there's some great ideas coming out of the steering committee, which you will hear shortly when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. Long before electronic ignitions, in-dash entertainment, alloy wheels, and moonroofs, our family has provided your family with worry-free transportation and reliable service. One of the great things about living in Bedford County is that all of us still appreciate personal service and the value of a reputation. So many things we want today are measured only by appearance and price. At Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, we strive to do more for you so that we can succeed. In all the years we've been in business, we've never lost sight of the fact that purchasing a car is a big deal for any family, including my own. Your car or truck is your connection to the outside world, whether it be your job, church, or family. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru understands your needs, and that is why we invite you to visit us first. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, for buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is Dorothy Krupa, the park manager of Shawnee and Blue Knob State Parks, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We are back in Bedford County. As a matter of fact, this program today is being recorded in the Bedford County Courthouse Complex, which is always so beautiful, the brand new super duper building here. And I think we're about 13 feet from Don's office. We did this out of convenience to him, but he also has a nice air conditioned room to do this, and it's kind of a hot day, so it's kind of nice. Let me ask you this, Steve. Municipal authorities, I know in your work in Pittsburgh and elsewhere, you've been involved with the creation of these things. Sounds a little scary. Is it a big deal to put these together?
No, and probably the main purpose of an authority is that the authority has its own board of directors, etc. And it is an entity separate from county government, city government, etc. So it has its own powers. For instance, it can operate, it can maintain, it can go out for bids. It can issue bonds, literally.
So they can borrow money.
And as I said, they are independent of city or county government. However, the members of the board are generally appointed by, in the county's case, by the commissioners, okay?
I've had some experience over the years with private partnerships, private-public partnerships. Can an authority put together that to help them out?
Sure. I mean, they have tremendous flexibility in terms of how to do these things. But the important issue here is, if we're going to embark on Pike to Bike, who in fact is going to own it? Who's going to operate it? Who's going to maintain it? Who's going to go after the funding? You need a governing body. And right now, we're discussing the creation of an authority.
So this entity that it's going to be called,
It'll be a recreational authority, but a joint one. Bedford County, Fulton County, working together.
Now, Don, when you work with these authorities, have they been similar to this recreational component, or that you've done other things, or how's it work?
What I've worked with mainly in my previous life was on water and sewer authorities, and they're very similar. And when you think about the roles of an authority, and they're very unique, and in some ways, you don't find these in other states in a similar fashion. They're very, very powerful in that. For an example, in this case, they can cross county lines.
Really?
Okay, yes.
Right.
And an authority can acquire
that
property.
That makes things easier.
Doesn't it now?
Boy.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Okay, unlike other entities that can cross county lines, can acquire property. An authority can do many things that governments can. The one thing they cannot do is tax.
Yeah.
An authority cannot tax. However, an authority can charge fees for something. That's the biggest difference you'll see, and its members are appointed. The board members are appointed, not elected. It can't tax. Beyond that, you're almost dealing with it is a government entity, creation of government. So they're very useful. You have airport authorities, you have water and sewer authorities, you have recreational authorities. They're generally
redevelopment
authorities. They're generally formed for a single purpose, so that people can focus on that purpose and take the load off of, for example, county commissioners. And also, by having folks be appointed as opposed to elected, it, in, at least in some ways, takes things out of the political arena.
Yeah, right.
They're not up for re-election. So, you know, they maybe feel a little bit more free to act.
So, as I understand from you guys, I could go buy a municipal bond for this, whatever it's going to be called, Turnpike Authority, or not Turnpike, but Pike to Pike Authority, whatever we
bonds,
call it.
Yeah.
I can buy a municipal bond, and it might say, you know, Pike to Pike Tunnel Authority, whatever they call it, that's how they'll finance it, through public money, but voluntarily, through the investors themselves.
But not necessarily, okay? Not necessarily actually issuing bonds. It's probably going to go first to the state, to the federal, whatever, to see what monies are out there.
Right. And there could be private interests as well from these people you're telling me that you're getting
hopefully,
hold of
now. Hopefully, this is going to require very creative and innovative thinking financially, from the financial perspective, to make it go. And I will say this as the county planning director. It has always been my goal, it will always be my goal, my stated goal, that the funding for this project, the construction cost for this project, is not going to come from something like a bond issue or from local taxpayers in any way, shape, or form, but through other sources. It could be state. It could be federal. It could be public-private partnerships with private investors of some type. But I fully understand that Bedford County is a rural county, is not a wealthy county, and it has never been my intent from day one to put this on the backs of the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. Now, Steve, who did the Skyline New York? Who financed that? The city?
That was a big project.
There's probably a lot of private money in that.
Big money.
In New York.
Yeah.
They probably called up the Donald.
I think there was private money also.
Yeah.
The big thing on that is the adjacent property skyrocketed in value.
Tremendous.
Incredible.
Our guests are Don Schwartz, director of the Bedford County Planning Commission, and Steve George. And Steve is on the Pike to Bike Steering Committee, which is our topic for today here on Bedford County Speaks. And I want to remind you that the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at Bedford County Chamber.com. This program has been very interesting to me since we're talking about all this, and I guess I want to ask maybe first you, Don. You, it seems like you've been involved with this project since the year 1905 or something. It's just taken a long time. But do you think things are speeding up now that we got this new steering committee, and as Steve pointed out, we get some interest from the county commissioners?
Well, the interest in the project goes back a long time. I've only been with the county for 5 years, so it may seem forever, but it's 5 years for me.
But it predated you. Obviously.
Yes, I'm saying it went back.
Sure.
The current master plan is dated 2006, was begun in 2004.
Gotcha.
So, but I've been running with it for 5 years. It's been a tremendous learning experience for me. I really wasn't any kind of expert on trails. I'm still not, but I've learned a lot and about the history of the tunnels. And as a history buff, it fascinates me. Yes, I was waiting for the day for this committee to be formed. This needs to be a bottom-up effort. It needs to be a public involvement effort up so that the commissioners in both counties know that the project is wanted. That's how it has to go. We now have an 11-member committee that's showing that by meeting every 2 weeks. We're going to get that master plan updated within the next year and then present it to the commissioners. So, yes, the pace has accelerated rapidly compared to the last several years. I was able to accomplish an economic impact study several years ago, which is useful, but this is the next step. This master plan that exists, it's 10 years old, simply has to be updated so that the costs can be identified, the ownership model, the long-term maintenance costs, how is it going to be paid for, how is this property going to be safe, liability issues, all of it. It all has to be looked at. And everybody has to be, you know, satisfied to move forward.
Well, you know, I lived in Pennsylvania counties that are 20 times the size of Bedford County. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen a project this big. This is kind of like the mouse that roared out of this little county pulling this off. So if we do pull it off as a county, it will really be an extraordinary accomplishment when you think that Bedford County, to a lot of people, is where you stop at the McDonald's on your way down the turnpike, you know. And all of a sudden, here's this huge thing that begins in Breezewood and goes on from there. I want to talk a little bit about...
We're talking two counties here.
Right, two counties. I'm going to get to that. I want to talk a little bit about the use of the actual road. Mm-hmm. Biking, right? Walking?
Hiking. There's been discussions about horses. Oh, that's, right. You know, questions about them in the tunnels. But
that's a whole separate maintenance issue.
I was recently contacted by someone that professionally runs marathons for a living. I've had the wheeled dog sled people approach me.
I never heard of that until you mentioned it. I didn't know there was such a thing.
There's something called geocaching, where people go and look for hidden items. Mm-hmm. That's already occurring on the on the trail. I have heard from several individuals who'd like to set up light shows in the tunnels. You know, antique car shows running 55 Chevys through there. You know, once depending upon the trail surface.
Right.
The list goes on and on, and you know it's never ending.
A lot of good ideas. How about you, Steve? Any ideas?
All of the above. I mean, when you consider today how important walking is for health and biking, those are the two major ones. And I see most of the people literally carrying out those activities. Terrific.
I would like to address one thing related to that, because and address an item sometimes comes up. People say, well, it's only 8.5 miles. You know, I said, no, wait a minute.
Listen, I've walked it. That's long.
That's 16 miles.
But
right, 70.
That's
you have to realize,
long, man.
I say to them, very few people are going to go one way. Down and back is 17 miles.
Right.
And in those 17 miles, you would see four tunnels.
Right.
Okay, now you cannot duplicate that experience.
Nah.
Anywhere, and to me that 17-mile length is perfect. It's a perfect length for a family to spend an afternoon. Whatever you do, it's not too long, it's not too short, it's just right. It's 17 miles.
Three-quarters of a marathon.
I mean, how many 5K runs is that?
It's about three-quarters of a marathon.
Yeah.
And if you go down and back, you're going to see four tunnels in either direction. And in the middle is the Buchanan State Forest. It's beautiful property. It's not as if we're traveling through, say, a cornfield. This is the Buchanan State Forest and the Appalachian Mountains. It's eye-popping territory out there, and you don't hear a sound.
To me, it's eye-popping that they built this thing in less than 24 months.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
I've read stories about this. They said They even had 10,000 engineers. Forget about the workmen. It's just the engineers on this job. So it would take us this long just to do the bog turtle story.
Well, it was the tail end of the Depression.
Sure, and they were moving, man. They were ready to rock. They did it in a hurry. This is fascinating. We have just a few more minutes. I want to get into a couple of more things. Steve, when the 11 of you get together, and obviously you're working on getting this authority set, but I also know that in the meetings you discuss about a wide variety of things, and sometimes people think, you know, we're getting a cart ahead of the horse, but it's good to have these ideas coming up as it kind of gives you a total vision of this thing.
There's no question. I mean, we've got a terrific committee. Given the talents and the experience and the knowledge on this committee, they're terrific people. They're all invested, okay? And there are subcommittees, and each subcommittee does its work. They are reported on every 2 weeks, et cetera, and this thing is actually flowing rather nicely.
And Don, from your purchase, the Planning Commission, you've got all these projects in the county. It isn't just this one. You've got a couple of other things going on, I would guess.
Yeah, I have a day job.
Yeah, you have a day job. And that's right. I must note that Don does that. He comes at night. You know, he comes here, works here all day, and then comes and hangs out with this committee at night after preparing all their paperwork. So we want to hats off to you on that. But as a planning project of the others you're doing, is there any way you could use this project to help some of the other projects you've got going?
Oh, absolutely. The county's about to embark on, along with five other counties in the South Central region, on a comprehensive plan as required by law. It'll be the largest comprehensive, multi-county comprehensive plan ever undertaken in Pennsylvania. The way the state wants comprehensive plans written these days is they want them to include lists of discrete, achievable objectives. Not a, you know, your typical 4-inch thick book that nobody ever looks at. Well, guess what's going to be number one, you know, as far as I'm concerned, in our list, you know, for Bedford County, and Fulton County will be involved with this too, because they're part of the group. This is an achievable, massive, significant project, so it fits right into what the new version of comprehensive planning is for Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. One of the things that interests me, Steve, is that you guys actually have done anything physical to this thing yet, other than a couple of cleanup days. And already we have hundreds of people that are on this trail now. And they technically come. They're not even supposed to be there, but they're there.
They come at their own risk.
Right. Okay. So, and we're not encouraging that in any way, but we're just saying that there's so much interest built up on this thing that that is what's happening. What have I missed here? Anything I missed important? If we could do it in like 60 seconds?
Well, I'd just like to say that for residents listening, that we're proceeding cautiously at the county level. We are moving full speed ahead. We're well aware of the issues. We're well aware of the concerns, everything from where are people going to park to liability to this to that to who's going to pay the electric bill if there's lights. I'm well aware of it. I've been involved in one type or another of planning my entire life. And I'm putting it all on the table for this. I've told somebody everything that's in the pockets is coming out on this one. Everything I know or I've learned, including working with authorities, financing, all of it, I'm trying to, you know, to bring to bear to help the committee and the county.
I'm a huge fan of national parks, and I don't think this is any bigger than any national park project I've seen. They have the one up at the Portage Railroad north of here, which is a fantastic national park. And this thing is no bigger than that. And they can do it, we can do it.
Oh, absolutely. This is absolutely doable, or I would not spend my time on it.
Anything for you?
Well, I want to emphasize once again the potential, the economic benefit that could accrue to this county. Yeah, to Breezewood, it's a whole additional new lifespan for them, okay? And that's huge. You know, that can continue to mean jobs. That means income. That means a lot of things that are positive to the people of this county.
Don Schwartz, Steve George, thank you very, very much for taking the time to do this. It's always fun to talk to both of you. I've never had you both on the radio before, so it's just great to have you, and thank you very much for doing this. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by DestinationDelco.com. From Philly to the Brandywine, that's DestinationDelco.com. And by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.